Welcome to another life-impacting message from City Light Church, North Adelaide. You can find more great things like this at citylight.church/North Adelaide.
Hello, everyone. Let's start reading the passage today. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 1 to 20. I'm reading an NIV version. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will thud and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camel of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaim the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flock will be gathered to you. The ram of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on our altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly among like clouds, like doves of their nests? Surely the islands look to me in the lead, for are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar with their silver and gold, to the honor of our Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he is endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and your kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. You will never be shut day or night, so that people may bring you the wealth of nations, their kings that the triumphant procession. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. The juniper, the fir, and the cypress together to adorn my sanctuary. And I will glorify the place for my feet. The children of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you at the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at the royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold, the silver in the place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in the place of stones. I will make peace your governor and well-being your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your lasting, everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Let's turn to the book of Matthew and chapter 2, 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet is written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time of the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Amen. Let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for all the good things you give us. We praise you. We thanks, Father, this morning for the way that you are sovereignly superintending us. Even now, you're helping us to breathe. You're overseeing our hearts. You are in control of all things. We praise you for sending us your Son, the Word made flesh. And we pray this morning as we think about your Word in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that we would see Jesus. We pray that we would hear Jesus. We, Father, pray that we would love Jesus more this Christmas than we ever have before. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you've been with us over the past 6 weeks, I hope you've noticed at least a little bit the sheer size of Christmas in what we've been doing as we've explored what the birth of Jesus means for the world. For the world. Friends, I hope that Christmas means everything to you. It means everything to me, and that's the way it should be for us as Christ's people. But our Lord Jesus Christ brings gifts for the world, for the whole world. And here we are together on what's officially the third Sunday of Advent, the sixth Sunday in our little series. And Advent is all about waiting. Waiting, waiting, waiting for what? Waiting for light, world light, not local light, not just here in this space. When Sebastian and I arrived this morning, the sun wasn't quite as bright as it is now and the lights weren't switched on. It wasn't just light in this space as we switched on lights. not just light here in Adelaide, but global light, global glory. We wait for global harmony, a world made new. That's what we're waiting for. There are three things in this beautiful poetic chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 60, which I hope you have open in front of you. Three things that if we can see them will flood your heart with light this Christmas. Isaiah 60 is all about light. It's all about light in a world of darkness. And we see that in the opening verse. Arise, chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, for your light shine, for your light has come. And it's so clear that the light is God himself, isn't it? Because this is poetry. Isaiah 60 is poetry. Often in Hebrew poetry, the second line of the poem simply amplifies the first line. It says kind of what the first line, the second line says what the first line says, but just in a slightly different way. So verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. What does that mean? Your light has come. It means second line, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. When you see the Lord, you see his glory and it sheds light. Where does it shed light? In Israel? Just in Palestine? In the church? Have a look, verse 2. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. I want you to check out the scale of this today. Darkness covers the earth, the whole earth. We live in a world of darkness. We all know this. I think we all feel this. The 7th of October, 2023, this year, a dark day in the Middle East. And there's been 2 months of intense darkness there ever since. A dark day in Adelaide. The next slide. 11th of December, just this week, last Monday, paediatrician Dr. Michael Jung assaulted by a man and a woman in our city, and then he died shortly after. Darkness. You know, listen, darkness, for some of us, we live with darkness all the time, don't we? For some of us, death has arrived all too soon in our homes. There's a kind of despair that won't sort of lift. We can't get it out of our minds. Life hasn't worked out how we imagined it would. Our home isn't the place that we dreamed it would be. World affairs, local news on any given day can sometimes be more than we can bear. What is God's solution? What does God have for us? What does God have for the earth, for his world, his earth? For all the peoples of the world. What is he going to do about the darkness? Isaiah 60 says, a new creation. A new creation. That's what he's going to do. A new world. A new world at the end of time that actually begins with Christmas. That starts with the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. The light of the world. That's what we're looking at here in this chapter. This is the kingdom of God come down to earth. It's amazing, isn't it? In John's vision of the new Jerusalem, the new creation, which we see in Revelation 21 and 22, right at the other end of the Bible, those stunning, well-known poetic verses, we read this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Where does this come from? It comes from Isaiah 60. When we see the glory of the Lord descending, he will cover his world in light. And here's what we'll see. Three great shafts of light. Because of Christmas, these three great shafts of light are beginning to burn in our world already. Here's the first one. 3 points today and then a couple of applications at the end, okay? If you're sort of a note taker wanting to work out where we're going, 3 points, a couple of applications at the end. First point, because of Christmas, there will be, in the end, a world at peace and a family at one. In the end. That's the first light. That's the first shed of light. A world at peace and a family at one. When the light of God's glory fills the world, it will mean the end of war and it will mean the beautiful growth of God's people and family. This is the whole idea. It starts in Isaiah 60, verse 3. Have a look with me. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. In the ancient world, kings only traveled for two reasons: to make war or to pay tribute. To make war or pay tribute, to pay homage or to expand the horizons of their own kingdoms and territories. So look at this chapter again and get the feel of it. Why are these kings on the move? Is there saber rattling here, you know, brandishing swords? No, none. These kings have left their swords at home. This future prophecy of Isaiah, looking at this new creation coming. This is a world where the nuclear codes have been forgotten. AUKUS, the deal we're sort of striking up between the US and the British, kind of long gone, doesn't even count anymore. Rockets are grounded, guns have fallen silent. Make no mistake about it, there is huge military traffic in this chapter, but it's all for peace, verses 4 and 5. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. The abundance of the seas will be turned to you, says the Lord. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The wealth and riches of the nations are coming. Coming, yes, on the seas, in those battleships, but not for war. There are no F-18s or Black Hawk helicopters on those aircraft carriers. They're bringing their wealth, their incense, animals, their gold. Look at verse 11. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that the peoples may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. These kings are not coming in pride or aggression, are they? No, they're being led like lambs in a triumphal procession. Just look at how clear this is in verse 18. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. Even though the kings of the earth are kind of marching on your border. And here's why this is so beautiful. A world at peace is matched all the way through this chapter by a family at one, a family at peace, a family enriched and restored and reunited from all over the place. Here at City Light Church North Adelaide, we've got strong connections to university student ministry, and I feel in particular with Focus Ministry through Mark at Flinders and through Christine at Adelaide University, reaching international students with the good news of Jesus and enriching their lives and those who already trust him. As far as I know, I think in talking to these guys, many of the students involved in Focus, not all, but many of them have gone back to where they live, to India and to China and to Taiwan. Think of them returning from a far-gone land to their parents. I know, think of your kids, grown up, away from home, longing to see them, children, brothers and sisters who've been away from you. Think of all them coming home to you. This is a family enriched, reunited, verse 4. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the hip. Same idea again, verse 9. Surely the islands look to me in the lead of the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar with their silver and their gold. Because Isaiah is talking about the end of time, all these people from God's family being brought together, reunited, this is a picture of the great fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, isn't it? Back in Genesis chapter 12, remember? You know, through you, God says to Abraham, through you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will make your offspring like the sands on the beach. So if anyone, if you can count all those tiny grains, that's how many children you'll have, Abraham. And you see it here at the end of time in Isaiah 60. God is keeping that promise. Isaiah is saying, God has not forgotten it. Verse 9, here they come into Jerusalem. sailing on their ships all the islands of the earth. What are we this morning here at North Adelaide? We're just a tiny island, aren't we? Brothers and sisters, when we see people from every tribe and every tongue and every people group, and when we see paupers and princes and lepers and lords and kings and queens and bogans and baristas, the haves and the have-nots pouring through the gates into the New Jerusalem, Isaiah says, how will you feel? How will you feel when all of God's people come together? How will we feel? Then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. What has God promised to you this day? What has God promised us? Aren't we this day Zion's sons and daughters who will enter the city from afar, aren't we? We are the foreign children. We're not ethnically Jewish, yet one day we will enter the New Jerusalem's always open, never shut, always safe, never dangerous gates. And when we get there, we will look around at more children of God than we could ever imagine to be there. And I'm guessing near the middle, perhaps with all of his children around him, will be the great patriarch Abraham. Our great, 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 great grandfather, with his millions of spiritual children gathered around him. Makes you want to sing the kids' song at this stage, you know. Father Abraham had many kids, and many kids had father. Sing along with you, know. I am one of them, and so are you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, right arm, you know, off it goes. It's going to be amazing. A reunion, a coming together of all of God's people. Maybe today, brothers and sisters, you're here and you've never known a family reunion. Maybe you'd say, look, if I'm honest, my family, when we get together, war breaks out. It's possible that some of us have not yet known this joy in our four walls. And Isaiah says to you this morning, just wait. Just wait. It's coming. Maybe you do know joy like this. Parents among us, you love this end of year coming together. Can't wait to have everyone back together again. In that throbbing, swelling heart, swelling joy, Isaiah's saying, can you see the light? Can you see the glory? Can you feel the glory of the Lord breaking upon us like this? Warfare done, God's people together. That's the first shaft of light we see in Isaiah chapter 60. Secondly, because of Christmas, there will be a world in reverse and a people enthroned. A world in reverse and a people enthroned. This chapter, Isaiah 60, is just littered with great reversals. Here in Isaiah 60, everything is kind of going in the opposite direction to what we normally think or what we normally experience. You know, so here are, in Isaiah 60, people flocking to the city of God, the nations coming to Jerusalem. If you were to go through Isaiah 60 with a fine-tooth comb and look it up, all the main verbs, all the verbs that show what people are doing, we see people, they're bringing, they're coming, they are traveling, they're gathering, people are processing. And look, it's not God's people opening wide the gates of the city to go out to the world. It's not that, it's the world coming to us, coming to them. I think we've seen a little bit of this sort of recently on our screens. The Israeli forces entering Gaza, seeking to take back cities from Hamas. And as a result, we've seen hundreds and millions and millions and millions of people trapped in cities. And as the IDF arrives for war, what do people do? They flee cities. Long, long, long lines of people with all their possessions and children strapped to their back, fleeing from the city. That's what we're used to seeing. People fleeing cities, on the run, massive, massive refugee crisis all over the planet. And here Isaiah is saying, imagine all this fleeing in reverse. At the end of time, the biggest refugee community the world has ever known, thousand upon thousands of people flocking to the new creation, to the new Jerusalem. That's not the only reversal we see here. What's the big surprise in this passage? What's the true back to front that we see going on here? It's not only nations kind of going against the flow, but as they do it, they are bowing low before God's people. See verse 7. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth will serve you. Verse 10, foreigners will rebuild your walls and their kings will serve you. Verse 14, the children of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet. Here we see former top dogs taking second place. Now, who has the big titles in our world these days? I don't know, King Charles maybe? President Biden, former President Donald Trump, Ben Netanyahu. But who wins here in the end? The dictator or the dictated? Look again at verse 15. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. Do you see the reversal? God's people are enthroned. They are given royal status. The nations bow low. And make no mistake, these nations are not forced to do it. Verse 9, they bring their silver, they bring their gold gladly. And it's really homely, verse 9. These great warrior kings are like doves coming home to nest, back where they belong under God's wings. And friends, as the nations one day do this, can you see what God is saying? As they come in, as they come into the new city, they find out about the tiny little church down the road that hardly anyone knew existed. And inside that church, they meet a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, who gave and gave and gave and gave and gave even some more to world mission, and who prayed every day and who just lived ordinary lives. Why, those people are there with the whole wealth of Saudi Arabia brought into the kingdom and laid at their feet. The nations are there in the presence of this ordinary little couple because they prayed for missionaries to go to Saudi Arabia with the gospel. And here are even some of the royal rulers of that kingdom bowing low before God's people, saying, "This is our city, God is our God." How do we know that this is going to happen? How do we know that one day there's going to be this great reversal? I often ask that. I often ask myself as I read parts of the Bible, parts of the Bible full of glorious promises like this. Really, God? Will the nations really do this? Bow low before God's people? What did you make of verse 6? Herds of camels will come to your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. How do we know God will do all this? Isn't part of the answer because he's already done it? We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel afar. That's why Christine read from Matthew chapter 2. About the Magi, the kings of the earth, coming to visit this baby Jesus. How do we know that there were three kings? We don't know, actually, that there were three kings. We don't know how many kings actually traveled to Bethlehem, how many wise men entered that tiny little town traveling from the east. Maybe it was 30 of them, maybe it was 300. But what happened? The kings of the earth brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the Lord. And get this, for the Lord of heaven and earth lying in a manger, lying in an animal feeding trough. The greatest on earth bowed low before the very least on the earth. Do you see it? Played out in real history already. It happened. The greatest on earth bent their knee before the least on earth. Kings bowed before a baby. Can you see the light? Can you see the glory? Brothers and sisters, I hope this morning you believe this with all your heart. When you watch the news, when you live through a year like 2023, when you lead that small little focus group on campus, when you attend a DG connected to City Light Church North Adelaide of, I don't know, five, when you preach to a room of 50 or to 500, when you get that update from Open Doors or from Barnabas Fund, when you get the prayer letter from a missionary family you've been supporting for 25 years in Turkey, a huge nation, strong Muslim nation, slumbering on in the darkness. And when you see the church small and weak, when you see pastors imprisoned in China, I hope you believe with all your heart that one day, a great reversal is coming. Everything will be turned upside down. The sons of our oppressors will come bowing low before us. Point three, then, our last point. What does it mean that everything will be turned upside down? Point three, because of Christmas, our world will enter eternity and God will be in our midst. Because of Christmas, our world will enter into eternity and God will be in our midst. You see, if at the end of time we see the world flowing backwards, kings will serve servants, the homeless will eat at the royal banquet table. I mean, we looked at this last week. Who does Jesus eat with? Who does Jesus include in his ministry? Who does he include? The rich, the famous, the, I don't know, the influential, the influencers? No, the poor, the outcast, the lame. All giving us a real-time foreshadowing of what the Lord will do in the end. If at the end the world is going to go into reversal, if these things happen, Isaiah says, because of that, the very things that God uses and gives us to mark time and seasons, to separate night from day, God is just going to turn them off. They won't be needed anymore. Verse 19, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor the moon, the brightness of the moon, shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Verse 21, then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Did you hear it in there? For the Lord himself will be our light. God will be with us, and on every side we will see his glory. And it's as if everything will go back in the end to how it was at the beginning. But brothers and sisters, only better than what it was like at the beginning. For back in the beginning was a garden. In the beginning, there was a sun and there was a moon in the sky, but at the end, instead of a garden, instead of just Adam and Eve, there will be a city. In verse 22, there will be a mighty nation. There will be a thousand mighty nations of people on every hand, and we will live forever in this perfect world with God. And God will be forever in our midst. And your days of sorrow, Isaiah says, will end. Your days of sorrow will end. I said I'd have 3 points and then two applications. Here are the two applications. I want to finish with these two. One to the old and one to the young. To the old and to the young. That's kind of everybody, right? You can take your pick whether you fit into the old camp or the young camp. I'm not going to place you into that particular category. Just should let you know for the record, I felt particularly old this week. I developed a couple of blood clots in my leg, and now I'm on the same medication that my dear wife gives to all her geriatric patients. So take your pick, take your pick. Or you can decide if you're old or young today. But some of us here, right, we've seen enough and we've lived long enough that sorrow seems to be on every side around us. I forget if I've told you about a guy named Derek Kidner. Derek Kidner is a wonderful, godly, humble Old Testament scholar. He's now gone to be with the Lord in glory. But as he moved through life, Derek Kidner, taking his godly scholarship with him into old age, later in life he wrote about the general desolations of getting older. And he wrote this. Listen to these words. He writes, quote, "And only the lights of the faculties and the senses begin to fade, but so too the warm glow of old friends and familiar customs and long-held hopes. Age steals all of these away. Old age comes at a time where there is no longer the resilience of youth or the prospect of recovery to offset it. In one's early years, in the greater part of life, troubles and illnesses are just setbacks, not disasters. You expect the sky to clear eventually, but in old age, you are now just adjusting to the closing of that long chapter, the final stretch where there'll be no improvement. The clouds will always gather again, and time will no longer heal but kill." And Isaiah 60 says to us, to you, brothers and sisters, Isaiah 60 says to us this morning, there will come a time when your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. And your days of sorrow, sadness, and sickness will end. Your days of distress and disappointment, disability, disease, or despair will be no more. Know this today, brothers and sisters. As you inhabit your darkness, whatever particular kind of darkness that is, I don't know what it is for you, but I know for most of us, we have some kind of darkness we're dealing with. Sorrow, or sin, or sadness, or suffering. Maybe for you today, God just simply seems really distant. One day at the end of time, the Lord Jesus will overflow again, so much so, the life and the light of Jesus will overflow in such a way again that God will just say to the moon and to the sun, "Thanks very much, your job is done." He'll turn them off. And the light like we've never known it before, light like we could never imagine, will fill the earth from shore to shore, and darkness, the darkness that we live with or lives inside us, will be gone. Gone. That's an application if you're an older person. Here's an application for all of us, and I think particularly for those of us who are a little bit younger. Again, I'll leave that between you and the Lord to determine. Let's never forget that one day everything will go backwards. One day the nations will come to us. One day people from the nations will come. But until then, brothers and sisters, until that day when Jesus returns and the nations come to us, until that day we go to them. We go to the nations. Until the end of this age, until the new creation, as the Lord tarries, we go to the nations. One day the shadows will flee. One day the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. But until that day, until we get there, we board aeroplanes. Until that day, we kiss our families goodbye. Until that day, we take our children, I don't know, to Norway, to Nigeria, to Ningaloo. We take our families to Cambodia, to Cummins, it's on the Eyre Peninsula, to Cummins or to Cairo. And here's how it works. Because we go to them, one day the nations will come. Maybe you've never thought world mission is for you. Maybe, you know, you've thought world mission, that's for the really enthusiastic believers, you know, the crazy ones. No. You know, right now you're going, I'm just thinking about the gift list that I've got to get sorted for Christmas. I'm not thinking about world mission. It's what other people do. Maybe you think to yourself, world mission, what will come of it? It's always small. It's always kind of weak. But the Lord says, if you go, look who comes. Maybe one day Japan will be like China. Maybe one day Japan will be like China. Right now, missionaries working in China. It's really hard to preach the gospel to people. It's slow work. It's painful work. It's hard ground. We've got Acts 29 churches who are doing church planting in Okinawa and in Tokyo. It's hard. Maybe those who are serving in mission in Japan right now, they will be dead, long gone, and generation after generation. But maybe one day, there'll be like an opening and we'll just see people in the new creation from Japan flooding into the gates. Who knows what the Lord God will do? Did you know the same Rome that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ in the first century bowed the knee to him in the fourth? Brothers and sisters, as I finish, darkness has no future, none. Jesus, the light of the world, has come and he is coming again. And no one has a future like the people of God. And one day his city, his presence, will be the joy of all the earth. Let's pray and ask God to help us to believe and trust and live in the light of it. As we pray, and I want you just to close your eyes and hear these words afresh out of Revelation 21. May this vision fill your heart. May it help you to, may it cause you to throb with and swell with joy. Hear these words. Behold, the dwelling place of God is among the people. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Heavenly Father, whether we are here this morning and we consider ourselves younger or older, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to cling to the precious promises of your word. Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture that you provide for us in the scriptures of the new heavens, the new earth, the new creation, where all your people throughout time will be reunited and gathered together with you forever. Father, we pray this morning for those among us who find themselves in a situation stuck in sin, struggling with sadness or suffering. I pray, Father, by your Spirit, you would bring great consolation to our brothers and sisters through your word. May the hope of the new creation empower our brothers and sisters who are doing it tough to keep trusting Jesus. And Father, for those of us who have the means, who have the freedom, the flexibility, the agility, the health to go, please, Father, would you send some from among us to the nations, such that many from the nations would come to know and love Jesus, find life in him, and share the same hope that we have of life together with you in the new world. Father, help us to keep trusting Jesus, keep living for Jesus, to keep loving like Jesus until we see him and enjoy him forever. And Heavenly Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from City Light Church, North Adelaide. We hope you found it helpful and we'd love for you to share this message with others. For more great content, more information about City Light Church, or to donate to the work of City Light Church, North Adelaide, visit us at citylight.church/North Adelaide.